I speak to you in God's holy name. God the Creator, God the Redeemer, and God the Sustainer. Amen. Please be seated. Take what belongs to you and go. I chose to give the last the same as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. These words from Matthew's Gospel have been used a lot in many different circumstances over the years. But one thing is obviously true, that Jesus is pointing the way of God's generosity and God's equality, that all people before God are equal, and that God is generous to all of God's creation. It's not that some are in and some are out, but in God's eyes, all are in. And that takes us to today. This is a day of truth and reconciliation, where we as settler people often took advantage over the First Nations people. And we as a church have said we are guilty of wrongs in the past. Similar to what the Prime Minister of Canada said to the United Nations, we must make reconciliation and be one with everybody in the land. This is following and echoing the message of Jesus, that all are equal before God. All are equal before the law, as the lawyers present know, but we are also all equal before God. And we are called as an Anglican church to really work at practicing that, learning about it, making it an integral part of who we are. Yesterday, I helped give some leadership in an anti-racism workshop. The church decided in 2007 that we would adopt a charter for racial justice, and that this charter for racial justice would form a backbone of work across Canada, and eventually all Anglicans would receive education in this whole area of racial justice. And we in this diocese have taken a leadership role in having a workshop provided so that anyone who wants to attend can. And we held one in Maple Ridge yesterday. We've held one in this parish a little over a year ago. And there will be more. And we need more people to participate. We want everyone to participate. And we need more people to help in the leadership, because it is so critically important if we are to live out our mission as Christians and live the gospel. We must work at this work at truth and reconciliation, and that we put our all weight behind it, that we live it within ourselves and gradually help the civil society to understand, and to those who don't already own this idea, to gain it, and to make common cause with those who already do. For, as I said earlier, God loves all of God's creation. Everyone here this morning, I hope, and if you haven't, I hope you can share. I don't know if we printed enough, but I gave everybody the charter which the Anglican Church has agreed to, and we're going to use that a little bit in our service a little later. So if you haven't got one, put up your hand, and those who have many, maybe you can share. Prejudice is something that we almost are born into. There's some work being done today on looking at prejudice, that it's almost like a pre-born stamp. We are born into prejudice. We're born into it in our homes. It's carried to us by our parents when we're just little people. And we sort of grow up with it. And it's like stew. After a while, You know, when you have stew, I love stew, by the way. But if you leave stew a couple of days, the carrots and the parsnips soon look like the potatoes, and it all looks the same because they've absorbed all the juice of the stew. Well, that's what it's like for us. We are born into the stew often of racial inequality, and we are born into prejudice. And what we have to do, we don't see it until we stand back from it and look at it. There are good stews and there are bad stews. And the bad stew is the one of racial prejudice. And we have to take time out and look at it. Because that's part of the gospel call to us. Jesus is calling us to work for equality, to love our sisters and brothers. It's too easy to try to find a scapegoat and to rally power by rallying towards a scapegoat and making somebody an outcast and saying they're not good enough. That might win power in a political way, but it's not the Christian way. And what we have to do is be careful of falling into that trap. And we have to be careful never to support it and to call it out, even if our friends are doing it. And to say, what are you doing? This is not the way we are to be as followers of Jesus Christ. And they may say, well, I don't follow Jesus Christ. I want power. And this is how I get it. I'll find a scapegoat. Well, that's their choice. But you don't have to support it. You can walk away. You can stand up to it. And we are called to stand up to that as members of the Christian church in the year 2017. The church has said, we will not stand for racial inequality anymore. We will stand for inclusion. We will stand for truth and reconciliation. This past week in our own parish, we began another series of education with settler people, that's those of us who are not naturally from North America, but have come from other places, and people from North America, the indigenous people, working together and starting to explore more aspects of how we can be more fully together, more fully in a sense of reconciliation. This year the theme is called Yours, Mine, and Ours, and it's looking at the doctrine of discovery, a doctrine that was used, sadly, to even extinguish a race of people here in North America, in Canada, in Newfoundland, when settler people went out and for fun and sport would hunt Beothuk people, First Nations people, shoot them as if they were game. Then he shot them to the point of extinction. And it's not a proud thing. And it's even more grave when you read and do the research. I mean, Newfoundland wasn't a part of Canada at that point, politically, but it was still part of North America. And people would go to an Anglican Church of England service and then go out in the afternoon, go hunting Beothuk. It's disgraceful. And we have to own that truth. And now we have to own it and overcome it and move on, remembering that God loves all of God's creation. And we can't move forward until we own our own frailty and sinfulness. Why do we do it? Why are we there? Why did people back 200 years ago think it was okay to do it? Because they thought that they weren't people. They thought that they somehow were superior because they had civil culture from England and other parts of Western Europe. And the other people were not the same as them. They were less than. You ask yourself the same question. Why in Canada did we have slaves? We had slaves in Nova Scotia. I have been to and saw an old slave shack on a farm in the Annapolis Valley of Nova Scotia, where a slave lived 200 years ago. Why did we do that? Again, we thought people of different color from different places were less than us. And therefore, it was okay for us, because they weren't quite people, to have power over them. But we're now living in 2017, and we know differently now. But we have to resolve to renew that commitment to inclusion and equality, which is the way of God. We are called to be members of the reign of God now. And we've been talking all fall about what that means, that we are members of the kingdom of heaven now. It's not some future date, but immediately now. We're in heaven. And therefore, we have to treat each other as members of the kingdom of heaven. And we have to also reach out and treat others in that way, with regard, and with equality, with restoration. And we have to listen as people grieve what's been done to them, because they carry that pain. And so we as Anglicans are called to live out and understand what it means to have racial justice. And we are called to try and make a difference in the world. So what does that mean for us today here at All Saints? Well, we are working at that. And we are working to amend and to see ourselves with a new self-understanding. But we also, it's important when you hear racial injustice is going on around you, to take up the nerve and challenge it. And don't expect that somebody's going to love you when you challenge their privilege. It doesn't happen. I got challenged yesterday. Carol was there. She heard the challenge. But you have to still stand up for God. Stand up for love. Stand up for the calling of Jesus Christ. Calling us into oneness. Calling us into equality and love. We are not better because we're Anglican. We are not better because we are following a way of Anglicanism that tries to be inclusive. But we follow it because we feel it's the way that we respond to the call of God. And that we are trying and striving to follow in a way of justice. We're going to make mistakes, but that doesn't mean that we don't stop working at it. To live and to be the place where God's love is known and shown. I'd invite you now to take your sheet. I've taken it home and read it for yourselves later, but come to the middle page where you see the charter is. And I'm going to start off reading as members of the Anglican Church. And then I would invite you to read with me because we believe that. As members of the Anglican Church of Canada, we strive continuously to be faithful to our life in Jesus Christ that we embraced at our baptism. We are learning that one of our strengths as a church lies in our diversity and in our commitment to eliminate systemic and individual racism, whether intended or not. We are called to be a church where people will have the assurance that they will be treated with dignity and respect, and where they will find a community that is determined to be free of racism. Because we believe that God created the world and saw that it was good, and created human beings in God's own image. Jesus, in his life and teaching, actively sought to be in loving, right relationship with others, embracing those who were pushed out by society, while challenging the structures of his day that separated one group from another. God's Holy Spirit breathes and gives life to all humanity and moves within God's people to overcome separation and sin. In baptism, we are given a new life of grace, a life of mutuality and community, and are incorporated into the body of Christ, one body with many parts. In accepting the new life in Christ, we affirm that divisions of race have been put aside and that all come before God as equals. In our baptismal covenant, we promise to persevere in resisting evil, and whenever we sin, to repent and return to the Lord, and thereby commit ourselves to make a new beginning when we discover that we've offended God or injured others, and our struggle for racial justice requires new attitudes, new understandings, and new relationships. And these we must be reflected in the policies, structures, and practices of the church, as well as in the laws and institutions of society. We therefore commit ourselves to eliminate racism and all forms of discrimination by identifying and removing the barriers based on race, and transforming the structures of power and privilege that favor white people and prevent others from full participation in the life and work of the Anglican Church of Canada, to ensure that the policies, procedures, and practices of the General Synod of the Anglican Church of Canada reflect the principle of equality for all, to educate ourselves and receive training in anti-racism practices and find ways of modeling these to the wider church and society, to increase awareness of and appreciation for the diversity of race, color, and culture within the Anglican Church of Canada and in Canadian society, to support and participate in the worldwide struggle for racial justice in church and society as advocates and activists, to monitor our progress by listening to the evaluative comments of people oppressed by systemic and individual racism, to endeavor to ensure that human and financial resources are allocated to enable these commitments to be fulfilled. I invite you to take this sheet home, maybe discuss it, share it with friends and family. Be prepared that people will have various points of view. But we are, as a church, dedicated to this and moving in this education way, moving towards a society that is reconciled, to not be afraid of differences, to not be afraid of strangers. We cannot be a fear-based society. A fear-based society will eventually implode and die. That is not what we are called to be as we follow our Lord. And today, as we are all invited to receive the Eucharist, I pray that that sense of the Holy Spirit and the presence of Jesus alive in us will give us the courage and vision to go and live out the charter of being people who follow Jesus in an inclusive, loving way. May God bless us all. Amen. Now today the group is going to lead us in a singing of our creed following in the hymn book. You have your blue hymn book with you, and we're going to sing together number 44.